It's not an option. It's a right. Cocked, locked, and ready to rock the world of the anti-gunners. You're listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio. The fight for your rights isn't for pansies. So buckle up for the ride and knuckle down with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
Well, welcome to the show, everyone. This whole shooting tragedy in Arizona over this last weekend has certainly got out of hand, politically speaking. I mean, absolute political uproar when politics shouldn't really have much of anything to do with this. Here's a little story. Congressman Pete King of I don't know where to introduce a gun safety bill after the Arizona shooting. Now, I don't know really how a safe gun would have done anything to prevent this. Listen to this. Peter King said Tuesday he plans to introduce a new gun safety bill in Congress in the wake of the mass shooting in Arizona that killed six and wounded 14, including Representative Gabby Giffords. King said his bill would make it illegal to knowingly carry a gun within 1,000 feet of, quote, certain high-profile government officials. Really? So this is a law to protect the king and the king's round table. Quote, it is imperative that we do all we can to give law enforcement the tools we need to ensure the safety of New Yorkers and prevent an attack before it happens. Okay, so King must be from New York. King said during an appearance at a Manhattan event with, of course, the hugely anti-gun mayor Michael Bloomberg and other scumbag anti-gun officials from New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania who discussed ways to prevent another shooting tragedy. Interesting. You cannot prevent this. It's like trying to prevent a bee from stinging you. Somebody eventually is just going to get stung. Jared Loeffler, 22, has been charged with trying to assassinate Giffords and is facing life in prison or the death penalty. The shooting rampage has altered the political landscape and prompted lawmakers to consider additional layers of security when meeting with constituents. A spokesman for King told FoxNews.com that the office is still working on the substance of the bill. King decided to introduce the bill, quote, to give the public a greater sense of security at public events with federal officials. You get this? A greater sense of security. There's not going to be any greater security. If they had this law on the books where you have to keep away, more than 1,000 feet away, of certain high-profile government officials when carrying a gun, I have to ask you, would this have stopped this? The answer is absolutely not. The guy already violated a whole bunch of laws. Namely, shooting 20 people, killing six, injuring 14. Shooting and killing people is already a capital crime. Having some facade of, you can't carry a gun within 1,000 feet of high-profile government officials. Guys, that would have done nothing. Here's the thing. All of these pieces of legislation that these people in Congress are talking about introducing, and in a couple of cases already have introduced, not a single one of these would have prevented Jared Loeffler, from going to that crowd of people and shooting. Nothing on the books would have prevented that. Say, well, let's just take the guns out of the hands of the people. Then you can't do it. That is like saying, let's make drugs illegal so you cannot get and use drugs. Oh, really? Heroin is illegal. It's illegal at the federal level, and it's illegal in every single state and territory of the United States. In no way, shape, or form is heroin legal. In every single town in America, you can find heroin. Every single town and city in America, from the small little group of a couple hundred people all the way up to a metropolis of millions, you can go and find heroin and you can use it. And guess what? It's illegal to have, it's illegal to sell, illegal to possess, to use, to be under the influence of. Everything about heroin is completely illegal. And that hasn't prevented any drug use. None. People want the heroin. They want to shoot up a hot load of H smack dab in the middle of their vein. Nothing's going to stop them. As a matter of fact, obtaining hypodermic needles is probably more difficult than actually getting heroin. I can tell you that from experience. My daughter needs to have vitamin B12 injections. It is so difficult for her to get the proper needles and syringes for that injection. If you want to shoot heroin, there's actually groups that will provide you free, clean needles. Unfortunately, the size of the hypodermic device, the apparatus, and the needle itself are different for B12. It's a different substance. The heroin uses are too small. You can't force the B12 through it. So, unfortunately, if my daughter were a heroin addict, it'd be easier for her to get all of the necessities than it is to get B12 shots. You cannot make guns illegal and expect people to not get a hold of them. You cannot make a law and expect somebody who doesn't follow the law to follow yours. You're so special, Congressman Pete King. You're so blooming special that whatever law you introduce, if it gets passed, people are going to abide by it. And nobody's going to bring a gun within 1,000 feet of certain high-profile government officials, such as yourself. Of course, your last name, King, probably tells her she'd like to be King, considering the line of work you're in and your filthy scumbag anti-liberty and anti-freedom rhetoric. Can't carry a gun within 1,000 feet of certain... You know what? You're an a-hole, Pete King. You're a complete a-hole. Can't carry a gun within 1,000 feet of me. It'd be a felony. Scumbag. Do you really think that would have prevented anything? Here's the deal, guys. Here is the idea. Every stinking piece of legislation that the anti-gun left wants to introduce in the wake of Gabby Gifford's shooting, back it up 2 years and ask yourself, would it have prevented this tragedy? So far, the answer is a resounding no. Wouldn't have done a damned thing. When we come back from the break, I have a couple of audio files I'm going to play for you, starting off with Know Thy Enemy, Southern Poverty Law Center, and the twits from there. So you'll be interested in hearing that. Stay tuned. I'll be right back after these words. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2AE Radio.
Tell everyone in the room to pipe down. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
All right, guys, welcome back. Of course, you have to know thy enemy. So we're going to play a sound file of an interview with Mark Potack of the Southern Poverty Law Center. They are the hate group that monitors what they call hate groups. So this is an interview based on the shooting that happened in Tucson. So listen to this.
In somewhat speculative territory still here, as it clarifies. However, this is one of the rare cases where a political assassin, if Loeffner is indeed guilty, has been caught alive. And whatever questions we have tonight, the gunman himself, in theory, can someday answer, although the sheriff says he has invoked his right to remain silent. Until then, let's draw on the expertise of the Southern Poverty Law Center, which tracks political militancy in this country. And Mark Potack is the director of the center's intelligence project. Thanks for your time tonight, sir.
Thank you for having me, Keith.
Loeffner's internet trail, does it tell us anything about his politics? Does that specific reference to the 8th District, the Congresswoman's District, does that step out of the incoherence, or is it just part of the incoherence?
Well, you're right, that reading through all of his materials, or the materials that are purported to be his, that he sounds quite mad, out of his mind. But there is a thread through the material that really seems pretty clear, and that thread has to do with seeing the government as an enemy. The books you mentioned, there's a theme that runs through all of them, in particular the Ayn Rand book, the idea of the individual against the state. But there are ideas like the idea of the only legitimate currency being backed by gold and silver. You know, that's a core idea of the radical right in this country. The idea, weirdly enough, of controlling grammar, of somehow the government using grammar to control the people, is an idea that exists on the radical right. There's a particular person, a man named David Wynn Miller, who has plugged this idea over the years. This man also talked quite a lot in these strange videos of his about what he called conscience dreaming, but I think is almost certainly meant to be conscious dreaming, which is an idea that also has been kind of tossed around on the radical right, in particular by a kind of British conspiracy theorist by the name of David Icke. So a lot of these ideas, his burning of the flag, his talking about the government as treasonous, and using mind control to control the rest of us and so on, these are all ideas or kind of shards of ideas that exist very much on the radical right. And then, of course, you know, as the Pima County Sheriff said so dramatically and so truly, I think, you know, you add those kinds of ideas to just the amazing level of vitriol out there on the airwaves, and also, in addition to what the sheriff said, coming from politicians, and it is not entirely surprising, you know, that someone like this acts out.
The other item, and it was extraordinary also that the sheriff discussed the YouTube video, knew its length, and then, unfortunately, one of those maddening moments when you're sitting so far away, nobody in the crowd said, can you confirm that that's his YouTube video, which would clarify an awful lot at this point. But they know about this. And what does that mean that they have taken an interest in that video and these presumably the Facebook postings as well?
Well, I think what's going on is they're trying to understand a motive. I thought one of the more interesting moments in the press conference was when the sheriff confirmed that, in fact, the authorities believe that the congresswoman really was the target, that this person went to this place in order to do her harm. You know, and that, of course, suggests that it really is a political act, at least in some way. So, you know, I think that what the evidence suggests, and it is very, very early on, but what the evidence suggests is that this is a man fired up, presumably by some of the very hot commentary out there, who felt that it was time to go out there and act. And, you know, I think it's worth remembering. I mean, about a year ago, when that fellow Joseph Stack flew an airplane into the IRS building in Austin.
Right. Okay, I can't take any more of this guy. He's got to just shut up. Now, this guy is really off base. Keep in mind that this is the same hating Southern Poverty Law Center that loves to hate themselves, but yet they come out and they label everyone and every other group that isn't a screaming socialist liberal. They label them hate groups if they stand up and say, look, what you're saying on the socialist liberal agenda is wrong. You're now a hate group. You're a hate mongering individual, whatever it is. And, you know, I've been thinking about it while this guy was running his suckhole. Was this guy Pete King out of New York? We talked about him in the first segment. He wants to introduce a piece of legislation where you can't knowingly have a gun within 1,000 feet of a high-profile government official, right? To offer a sense of security at public gatherings. And I have to tell you, a false sense of security it would be, because it wouldn't stop anybody who was determined. Oh my gosh, I want to go shoot this politician, but there's a law that says I can't carry a gun within 1,000 feet of them. Damn it, I can't shoot him. It's a total false sense of security. Now imagine if this law were actually on the books and people were duped into this false sense of security. And of course, the honest law-abiding people who don't want to shoot anyone leave their guns at home. Now they all show up, and it is now a gun-free zone. People who normally would carry didn't because they're at this political event. And some nut job says, you know what, I'm not really too concerned with that law. And they show up with a gun and they start blazing away and shooting people. What Mark King, or Pete King, his name is Pete King out of New York, what Pete King has done is he has then cost people their lives. He was now guilty of murder by association. It's guilt of murder, maiming, and injury by his law, because he duped a false sense of security into the general public, which the Supreme Court has already ruled. Guys, the Second Amendment exists personally. You cannot infringe on that, which is exactly what this guy, Pete King's whole introduction is all about. It is political rhetoric. It is garbage. It has no chance of passing. Even if it does pass, it has no chance of being held up in court. And on top of that, to provide a sense of security, as he quite honestly put out there through his office, a sense of security is not security. Giving up liberty, giving up freedoms will never give you security. My speech on this radio show is not hate speech, guys. My speech is about freedoms and liberties, because we have given up too many in the sense of security banner. Under that banner of having a false sense of security, we've given up freedoms and liberties. More so, they have been taken from us. We haven't given them up. They've just been taken from us. Starting most recently after 9/11, when all of this garbage started happening, with the Bush era Patriot Act. George W. Bush, a pretty lousy president. However, much better than the alternatives. When we're grading on a curve like that, we all get screwed. Our liberties, our freedoms get flushed. They get railroaded. It's what they get steamrolled, in fact. And this guy from the Southern Poverty Law Center, Mark Podock, whatever his name is, this guy is on the extreme left. He is the exact type of guy that Senator McCarthy was looking for in American society back post-World War II in the 1940s and 50s. This is exactly the type of guy that McCarthy was looking for, Joseph McCarthy. Unfortunately now, he's got a microphone, a platform, and millions of people that'll listen to him. And that's where we've come in this country. Stay tuned, guys. There's more to come on all of this when we return. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned in right here to 2A Radio.
You're listening to a guy who packs a gun to shoot the bad guys and packs a mic to shoot his mouth off. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio are back.
Welcome back from the break. You know, they're talking about the right-wing hate speech. All right, vitriol is the word of the week. It's the new word. I had to look up the definition. I've never heard vitriol before. Well, it's basically either acid or it's acidic language that would be there to basically inflame and incite. Like very, very harsh negative language is what vitriol speech would be considered. And of course, somebody on the left came up with that. And who was it? It was Sheriff Dupnik out of Pima County, Arizona, where Tucson is. He was in an interview with Katie Couric of the CBS Evening News, and she asked him the following. There's also laws that allow you to take concealed or non-concealed weapons and carry them with you at all times. Is that correct? Here is the sheriff's answer. He says, that is absolutely correct. That's the height of insanity. I don't know what else they can do. maybe they could pass a law that would require that every child have an Uzi in their crib. Okay? This is the asswipe that we have as a sheriff in Pima County, Arizona. And of course, Sarah Palin has taken a huge beating. She came out this morning with a video, and I'm going to play her entire audio statement right now. Right now.
Like millions of Americans, I learned of the tragic events in Arizona on Saturday, and my heart broke for the innocent victims. No words can fill the hole left by the death of an innocent, but we do mourn for victims' families as we express our sympathy. I agree with the sentiment shared yesterday at the beautiful Catholic Mass held in honor of the victims. The Mass will hopefully help begin a healing process for the families touched by this tragedy and for our country, our exceptional country. So vibrant with ideas and passionate exchange and debate of ideas, it's a light to the rest of the world. Congresswoman Giffords and her constituents were exercising their right to exchange ideas that day to celebrate our republic's core values and peacefully assemble to petition our government. It's inexcusable and incomprehensible why a single evil man took the lives of peaceful citizens that day. And there's a bittersweet irony that the strength of the American spirit shines brightest in times of tragedy. We saw that in Arizona. We saw the tenacity of those clinging to life, the compassion of those who kept the victims alive, and the heroism of those who overpowered a deranged gunman. Like many, I've spent the last few days reflecting on what happened and praying for guidance. After the shocking tragedy, I listened at first puzzled, then with concern, and now with sadness, to the irresponsible statements from people attempting to apportion blame for this terrible event. President Reagan said, "We must reject the idea that every time a law is broken, society is guilty rather than the lawbreaker. It is time to restore the American precept that each individual is accountable for his actions. Acts of monstrous criminality stand on their own. They begin and end with the criminals who commit them, not collectively with all the citizens of a state, not with those who listen to talk radio, not with maps of swing districts used by both sides of the aisle, not with law-abiding citizens who respectfully exercise their First Amendment rights at campaign rallies, not with those who proudly voted in the last election. The last election was all about taking responsibility for our country's future." Now, President Obama and I may not agree on everything, but I know he would join me in affirming the health of our democratic process. 2 years ago, his party was victorious. Last November, the other party won. In both elections, the will of the American people was heard, and the peaceful transition of power proved yet again the enduring strength of our republic. Vigorous and spirited public debates during elections are among our most cherished traditions. And after the election, we shake hands and we get back to work. And often both sides find common ground back in D.C. and elsewhere. If you don't like a person's vision for the country, you're free to debate that vision. If you don't like their ideas, you're free to propose better ideas. But especially within hours of a tragedy unfolding, journalists and pundits should not manufacture a blood libel that serves only to incite the very hatred and violence that they purport to condemn. That is reprehensible. There are those who claim political rhetoric is to blame for the despicable act of this deranged, apparently apolitical, criminal. And they claim political debate has somehow gotten more heated just recently. But when was it less heated? Back in those calm days when political figures literally settled their differences with dueling pistols? In an ideal world, all discourse would be civil and all disagreements cordial. But our founding fathers knew they weren't designing a system for perfect men and women. If men and women were angels, there would be no need for government. Our founders' genius was to design a system that helped settle the inevitable conflicts caused by our imperfect passions in civil ways. So we must condemn violence if our republic is to endure. As I said while campaigning for others last March in Arizona during a very heated primary race, I said, we know violence isn't the answer. When we take up our arms, we're talking about our vote. Yes, our debates are full of passion, but we settle our political differences respectfully at the ballot box, as we did just 2 months ago, and as our republic enables us to do again in the next election and the next. That's who we are as Americans and how we were meant to be. Public discourse and debate isn't a sign of crisis, but of our enduring strength. It is part of why America is exceptional. No one should be deterred from speaking up and speaking out in peaceful dissent. And we certainly must not be deterred by those who embrace evil and call it good. And we will not be stopped from celebrating the greatness of our country and our foundational freedoms by those who mock its greatness by being intolerant of differing opinion and seeking to muzzle dissent with shrill cries of imagined insults. Just days before she was shot, Congresswoman Giffords read the First Amendment on the floor of the House, and it was a beautiful moment. And more than simply symbolic, as some claim, to have our Constitution read by our Congress, I am confident she knew that reading our sacred Charter of Liberty was more than just symbolic. But less than a week after Congresswoman Giffords reaffirmed our protected freedoms, another member of Congress announced that he would propose a law that would criminalize speech that he found offensive. It is in the hour when our values are challenged that we must remain resolved to protect those values. Recall how the events of 9/11 challenged our values, and we had to fight the tendency to trade our freedoms for perceived security. And so it is today. Let us honor those precious lives cut short in Tucson by praying for them and their families and by cherishing their memories. Let us pray for the full recovery of the wounded. And let us pray for our country. In times like these, we need God's guidance and the peace He provides. We need strength to not let the random acts of a criminal turn us against ourselves or weaken our solid foundation or provide a pretext to stifle debate. America must be stronger than the evil we saw displayed last week. We are better than the mindless finger-pointing we endured in the wake of the tragedy. We will come out of this stronger and more united in our desire to peacefully engage in the great debates of our time, to respectfully embrace our differences in a positive manner, and to unite in the knowledge that though our ideas may be different, we must all strive for a better future for our
If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now. Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
As long as politicians attack our rights, Bill will be fighting for them. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Back on!
Hey guys, welcome back. So you heard as we were exiting the last segment, just finishing up with Sarah Palin's remarks to essentially all of the attacks, not just on her, but on all of our freedoms. The left wants to do their very best in the wake of this tragedy in Tucson to try to prevent this sort of thing from happening again. The only way to do that is to just trim a little fat off of the Constitution and stifle our rights and our liberties. Other than that, there is no way to prevent every sort of human emotional tragedy that goes on. Oh, you're not allowed to talk about blah-da-da-da-da when it comes to officials like me. You're not allowed to carry a gun within 1,000 feet of officials like me. You're not allowed to defend yourself because I am more important than you. They all want to go into prevention. Now, here's the deal. When it comes to the security of the United States of America from foreign invading military forces, is it one of these deals where we disarm ourselves and don't put out our opinions on republics and democracies and freedoms? Or is it one of these deals where we stand behind those principles, even though the same people that would stand up and say you need to have freedom and liberty and everything else for your country, although we're screwing our own people, they're not entirely honest about it. But do they stand behind those principles in the Constitution with a really huge stick known as the United States military? Are we armed for offense, or are we armed for defense, or are we armed, quite honestly, for deterrence? An incredibly strong defense and military offers deterrence. Imagine if this Mark Laffner in Tucson knew that the vast majority of people in America were both armed and trained to shoot at scumbags like him when he pulls out a gun and starts shooting innocent people. If he knew that, do you think he would have actually gone out there into a crowd, a sea of people, where every second or third person is carrying a gun and they're trained to use it for defensive purposes? Do you think he would have done this? My answer is, even as crazy as the guy was, I doubt he would have done it. I seriously doubt it. Because he didn't look at this as some sort of him being killed. He looked at it as him assassinating Gifford. So, if you have a strong defense and a lot of people who are trained in that area of defense, you don't go on the offense against them. Those who go looking for trouble aren't much trouble for those who are ready for them. And I suppose it's probably pretty much always been that way. Now, to give a sense of semblance to this, let's hear from Judge Anthony Napolitano. This is something that's actually recorded he put out there in December, but it's very appropriate for this.
There's an old one-liner that a nation of sheep breeds a government of wolves. And it's true. When we pliantly accept violations of our natural rights, we embolden the government to violate them even more. The more sheep-like the people are, the more wolf-like the government becomes. When I saw the way people last month around Thanksgiving pliantly accepted regulations imposed upon them by a bureaucracy called the TSA, which basically said, we're going to take a picture of you that looks like pornography and we're going to keep it, or we're going to touch you in ways so offensive that it could arguably constitute a sexual assault. When I saw people accept that in the name of safety, I thought to myself, government propaganda works. I thought to myself, we are becoming a nation of sheep because we are believing the government nonsense that this will keep us safe. When you believe the government that it can keep you safe by invading your natural rights, you'll end up with neither, not liberty or safety. Who will keep us safe from the government?
And nothing could be further from the truth. I got to tell you, Napolitano really has it. Now, let me turn this down. This is going to be the next spot. Napolitano really has it right when he says that. And keep in mind, he said these words weeks before this entire shooting in Tucson. Weeks before. Now what I'd like to do is Joe Zamudio, I think. He is one of the guys that actually held the shooter down in Tucson. And in fact, he's the only guy that was around that actually had a gun. He was the only one packing. He wasn't attending the event. He was in a store buying a pack of cigarettes when he heard the gunfire. And what did he do? He did like a warrior. He ran to the sound of the gunfire, knowing they were innocents, and he could help. Listen to this. This is on the Geraldo Rivera Show.
Joining us from Tucson, Joe Zamudio is one of the heroes in this disturbing story. He not only was a witness to the shooting, he helped hold down the shooter. Thank you, Joe, for everything you've done and for being with me tonight. Tell me, did he say anything during the entire course of this tragic event?
Thank you, Geraldo. No, actually, the only thing I heard him say at all was about his arm. He, you know, once we were really kind of applying pressure, he says, "Ow, you're breaking my arm."
You should have broken it, among other things. I wish you did, Joe.
I agree with you. I was not his arm. I was on his legs and his lower back. The guy who had a hold of his arm was trying, it looked like to me.
What was going through your mind during this struggle?
I don't know if you're aware, but I carry a weapon, so when I heard gunshots, I ran outside to help. And, you know, I was carrying a gun, and I would have shot him. I almost did.
Why didn't you?
They had already had a hold of him, and there was a lot of people around him, and I wasn't going to cause any more collateral damage or scare anybody any further than they needed to be scared. I felt like I could hold him down and wait for police, and it wasn't my responsibility to end his life.
How old are you, Joe?
I didn't feel like... I'm 24 years old, sir.
Man, what a cool cucumber you are. I really I admire what you did. I admire your restraint, and I admire your courage.
Thank you. I don't know what I was thinking. I didn't think really at all. I just stepped into the store to purchase some cigarettes, and I heard it. It was real loud and real fast. Pop, 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 real fast. And I just started running, and then I heard someone say, "Shooter, shooter, get down." And I just kept running into it. And at that point, they were already wrestling with him, and I just kind of helped and did what I could until the authorities arrived. And
So you're hearing it straight from the mouth of the only person that we know of at the entire scene that actually was packing a gun, Joe Zamudio. Tucson didn't have a CCW, didn't need one, because in Arizona it's called constitutional carry. Now, it's interesting that the left, the anti-gunners, just love to talk about how the laws on the books in Arizona are so open. They lack any sensible gun control, right? That's what the left and the anti-gunners are saying. Here's the deal. In Arizona, what they have is they have laws, they fail to have laws that restrict the rights of the citizens that are there. What they're saying is, Arizona is free. We do not restrict rights, liberties, and freedoms. Now, in states such as California, Illinois, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, there are laws where they restrict the rights, liberties, and freedoms of the citizens to be able to defend themselves. Why did this guy have a gun? He had a gun so that he could defend himself. We're talking about Joe Zamudio, the one we just heard the interview with on Geraldo. Joe Zamudio had a gun to be able to defend himself. What did he intend to do with it on Saturday? He intended to defend others, to defend those who were not prepared to defend themselves. Now, he didn't shoot this guy because by the time he got there, it had turned into a wrestling match. Had he pulled out his gun and shot the guy, would he have gotten away with it? The answer is yes, he would have gotten away with it, considering the light of the tragedy. The question there begins, okay, he got away with it, but the big question now is, if he got away with it, would it have been legal for him to actually shoot a guy that they were wrestling with? The answer to that is yes, absolutely. Because Justin Lofner, up to that point in time, was a lethal threat and continued to be a lethal threat. So when Joe Zamudio runs out there, he's got a gun. He's ready to shoot. He's ready to defend the innocent people who showed up with no apprehension of ever having their safety under any sort of negative light. Like, they had no concern that they might be going into an unsafe situation. Joe Zamudio wasn't that ignorant. and he was prepared to defend others.
I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you, in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Thanks for tuning in. Bill will be back tomorrow. Now go side in and shoot straight. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes. Learn more about Bill at BillCarnes.com. Send your comments to Bill at 2WayRadio.com.